about imputed righteousness being only by faith and not by works. But then also, as he uses these Old Testament examples, shows us that we serve a very merciful and gracious God, and that when he talks about those Old Testament saints, God saw the end from the beginning, and he does the same with us. So notice in verse 16 of chapter 4 of Romans, he says, "Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I've made thee a father of many nations,' before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to all that which was spoken, 'So shall thy seed be.' And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." So tonight's title is "As Though They Were." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of meeting this evening, and pray now that you would meet with us and that we would glorify you in our prayer time, Lord, and as we respond to your word, that you would guide us and use your word in our lives. We are thankful and give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, reminding us that salvation, as it says in verse 16, is only by grace through faith. That's a great statement, isn't it? By grace through faith. Only by grace through faith. And of course, most of us know Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 17, "As it is written, 'I've made thee a father of many nations.'" Of course, he's talking here about Abraham. And he says, "Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead." God, of course, made a very unique promise to Abraham. He'd never made a promise like this to anyone before. I think we looked at it recently, but we'll glance at it quickly in Genesis 12. One of the most important promises in the entire Bible, especially for the Jews, but this is the promise that carries right on through Jesus Christ onto us. Genesis chapter 12, the first unconditional promise of the Bible, called the Abrahamic covenant. Verse 1, "The Lord had said unto Abram, 'Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from my father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.'" And of course, that is true even for us through his physical descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world is being blessed every day because of this great promise. But you know what? God keeps his promises. Amen? And that's really what this passage is about. God keeps his promises. God also watches over his children. And he says there in verse 17 of our passage in Romans 4, "And calling those things which be not as though they were." What does that mean? It means that when God saves us, when we become his child, God sees the end. God sees us in heaven. As a matter of fact, in his mind's eye, because time doesn't mean anything to God, we're already seated in heavenly places, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, because we're in Christ. And so God sees things that are not in our eyes as though they already are or were, because God sees the end from the beginning. And this is quite beautiful when you look at it through the story of Abraham, as you'll see. But first, look at Isaiah 46:10, if you would, quickly. And then I want to show you how God uses Abraham to show us a beautiful truth how God sees things which be not as though they were. Notice Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. It's hard for us to grasp, but God's always been, and God always will be. Now that we have eternal life, we will always be. And again, it looks like time won't mean a lot once we get to heaven. But when God saves us, something happens. God sees the end. God sees us in heaven, in our new bodies, with no sin. Even though experientially we're still here on earth, making mistakes, failing God all the time, He sees the end. So let's look at it through Abraham. Notice verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. He's talking about Abraham. It says he believed God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And so he, when we talk about God here is describing faith, he says that he believed God. He didn't let the physical circumstances sway him. Verse 20, and he staggered not at God's promises. This God wants this for all of us. He wants us to believe God, to believe his promises, and to stagger not at those promises. But was strong in faith, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. This is the response God wants from every one of us to his promises. Believing by faith that God keeps his promises and that we can claim them. That's, if you will, looking at it through spiritual eyes. But when you look at the reality of what happened, it's quite different from this statement that he staggered not. And so what God is teaching us is that, yeah, we make mistakes along the way, but our redemption is complete. And in his mind's eye, we're already in the glory. And no sin applied to our account. So when God saw Abraham's faith and said he didn't stagger, right? He said that in verse 20. What really happened? Let's look at Genesis 16 and see if on a practical level there might have been a little bit of staggering, if you will. Now in the end, he had the promised child, Isaac, and God blessed him and kept his promises. But notice chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now this is after God had already promised him that he would get a child, right? And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray they go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in under Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. This is the beginning of a very long story that's not over. Because Ishmael became the father of the Arabs. And because of this one story, they're still fighting over a little sliver of land. And will fight over it until Jesus returns. So, did he stagger? Well, on a practical level, he did. God had already promised, I'm going to give you a child through Sarah. He didn't say through some handmaid. He said, I'm going to give you a child through Sarah. They waited and it didn't happen. And so they, if you will, took matters into their own hands, had Ishmael. Then not long after, Sarah got pregnant and had Isaac, just like God promised would happen. And if you read further in the story, which we won't do tonight, even Sarah staggered. Look at Hebrews 11 first, verse 11. Hebrews 11:11. And this is God's description of Sarah's response to the promise that God would give them a child, even though they were old. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Look at this last phrase. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. This is God's after-the-fact description of what happened in Genesis. But if you go back and read the story, Sarah's the one that laughed when the angel first showed up and said, I'm going to give you a son. And then God said, you're going to name him Isaac, which means laughter. So their whole lives they could be reminded that they laughed at God. But we don't read about that in Hebrews 11, do we? It says she staggered not, or he staggered not. It said she judged him faithful. So God is seeing the end from the beginning. God is seeing things that are not as though they were. And that we should take comfort in this. Because it's the same for us. When we get to glory, there will be no sin on our account. No mistakes. Hallelujah. And when God looks at our account, he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees things that are not as though they were. Let's look at one more example. Since we're in Hebrews 11, look at chapter 11, verse 32. A man named Barak. Don't hear a lot about him. He was one of the many judges in the book of Judges. But there was another judge at the same time named Deborah. One of the few female judges. And here in verse 32, it says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. So he's saying here, Barak was one of the heroes of the faith. Did Barak stagger a little bit? If you go to Judges chapter 4, we'll see the answer to that question. So go to Judges chapter 4 and verse 6. And she sent and called Barak, this is Deborah, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Well, that's a beautiful promise, isn't it? They were being tormented again by a Gentile nation being led by a man named Sisera. And God sent a promise through the prophetess Deborah and said, go, take 10,000 men. God will win the battle for you. Did Barak pick the 10,000 men and go? No, verse 8. Barak said unto her, if thou go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. He said, I want you to go with me. Verse 9, she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. In other words, if you're not going to just listen to God's promise and follow through and do it, but instead require me to go with you, then you're not going to get the honor for the victory in the battle. But we get to Hebrews 11 and God says, Barak's one of the heroes of the faith. Isn't that exciting? Because if you look at us, we make mistakes all the time. But when we get to glory, it's going to be things that are not as though they were. And he says in verse 17 of our passage, and call it those things which be not as though they were. If you go to Romans 8:29, this is where the Calvinists get tripped up. This thing of predestination. Thinking that because God understands the end from the beginning, that therefore he forces it to be so. And what that teaches then for practical side of salvation is that God's pre-chosen who's going to get saved and who isn't. And the saved are the elect, and the unsaved are not the elect. And by elect, he means God's pre-chosen them, and therefore they will get saved. There's nothing they can do about it. God's going to force it to happen. Those who are not the elect can't get saved. Sorry, you didn't make the list. And that's the basic teaching of Calvinism. But Romans 8:29 talks about predestination. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God predestinated you and me to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, he is accomplishing that partially here on earth through trials and so forth. But when we get to heaven, we will be 100% in the image of Jesus Christ. So why then do we have to go through all of this trouble down here if we're going to end up in the image of Jesus Christ anyway? Because God sees things which are not as though they were. In God's mind's eye, it's already done. We're already in heaven. We're already just like Jesus. But when we get there, he wants us to have lived life on earth and to experience his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. That's not going to go away. Will we make mistakes? Yes, we will. But we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ 100%. One more verse in Philippians 1:6. You know, Jesus is referred to as the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. So he not only authored it through dying on Calvary and rising again from the dead and giving us eternal life, he authored our salvation, our faith, but he's also the finisher of our faith. Amen? He's also the one who will take us to glory and give us a new body, which we will get to enjoy time with him forever. He's the finisher too. Notice Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See that word, until? So he started something called salvation. God's going to keep it up. He's going to keep working on us until it's finished. Paul talks in other parts of Romans about how our body groans and travails and waits for its redemption. You know, our spirit and our soul are redeemed, amen, but our body isn't. Body's still inclined to sin, still gets old, still gets sore, still has problems. So we're waiting for that final redemption when we even get a new body. But you know what God sees? He sees all that already done. And that's the beauty of this passage. Abraham, did he stagger? Yes. We get to Hebrews, God says he didn't stagger. So which is it? They're both true. On a practical level, he staggered, but when it comes to the end, we're sinless. So we didn't make any mistakes. Isn't that amazing? This whole passage and chapters have been about justification, where God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us, which means when we get to glory, there will be no mistakes on our account. Imagine, no sin. It's gone. That's true justification. God goes further than just forgiveness. He declares us just, perfect, holy, righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are not, in other words, right now, we're not righteous. We're not holy as though they were. We will be. And in God's mind's eye, it's already done. And when he made that promise to Abraham, it was already done. He was going to have Isaac and so forth, and then Jesus would come and bring salvation. Already done, as though they were. So that's a great encouragement for us, isn't it? Just keep serving the Lord, keep trusting him, and know that God already sees the end. And to him, it's already done. So be faithful, serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that one day you'll get to see him in his glory and spend forever with him. Hallelujah. things that be not as though they were. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this encouragement.